This is RSB&D Update, episode 379, recorded Saturday, September 22nd, 2012. Challenge accepted. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of RSB&B Update. Just the two of us here this week, Trekkie and myself, which kind of makes sense, since it is a quiet week after all.
Very quiet. We expected more, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We need Patrick's crickets back from last week.
You have a soundboard? Just add it in. No one would know
no,
the difference.
No, I don't, actually. I don't have that right now. So, anyways, let's just get started. With this week's updates, the daily challenges and notice board. So, first part they mention in the news posting is the daily challenges, which essentially is you log in and you're given a challenge that you have to do, or you don't have to do, it depends. You might decide to do it, and if you do, you can get great rewards, as you and Mike found with your dungeoneering ones, didn't you?
Yes, I got... Oh, wait, hold up. Plane coming. There we go. Anyway, oh, wait, what the heck? Is that a second one?
It's okay, continue. Planes are okay.
Well, anyway, yeah, so, like, me and Mike did a quick dungeoneering one that we had, and I got over 180,000 dungeoneering experience. I was like, ooh, cool.
Yeah. So that one's good. There's also ones, for instance, of doing agility. So let's say you want to go run through the agility course. So I had to do that 27 times for one. Another one I had to do was make 3 super prayer restore potions. So pretty high level.
Yes, there was actually a bug with the agility course down in the goblin area. They added a new feature a while back where you can right click on the goblin to find out what item you need to get for the agility course, and apparently it wasn't working for a lot of people with the challenge. The challenge was not adding up. So what later I found out that you actually have to go through the entire normal dialogue before it actually counts. So that was a little annoying, but I got it done, and that was pretty much it. I got a stupid one right now where it tells me to make iron ceremonial swords, and the artisan workshop was like, not going to happen. That's not happening.
Okay. I think from our experience, we can tell that there's quite a few of these that you can get, which is good, I guess. So, I mean, there's definitely more than 100, I think, based on this. So it'll definitely provide a great deal of time for people to do stuff that they just might not know what they want to do. And I know for me, sometimes I log in and I don't want to go do a Slayer task or something. I just maybe want to do some RuneScape. And I know these tasks I had kept me busy for the better part of an hour and a half. And they essentially filled one play session because it allowed me to do a herb farming run in order to make the... potions for the super prayer task, and also go do some agility as well. So overall, I'm quite pleased with the way this part of the system turned out. I mean, this is something that's been needed for a while, I think, and it just gives people who have done so much something to do that you might not know what you want to do anymore in game. Mm. Anyways. So that's the challenges part. The rewards are pretty good, I think. As we said, over 100k dungeoneering XP for that. Fishing farming XP, I think I got like 15k farming XP for just planting a dwarfweed seed for the farming one that I had to do. So definitely well worth it to do some of these if you have the levels. Also, with these, I like it because it will give people who are just the usual... combat and boss hunting types, if they want to go do something to get XP in this, it will better expose them to that part of the game, because I still feel there's a portion of the player base out there who just relegates themselves to PVM or something like that, you know. So I'm glad there's an option to kind of get them involved in this.
Yeah, give us something to do. Basically, if you can't figure out what you want to do, just check out what daily tasks you have. Yeah, and if you want to yeah. do one, just do it.
And when the system came out, everybody got 5 for free. So after that, it's just one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only one I didn't really do was the Yu Longbow one because I thought that was kind of, I had to make around 300 of them. I didn't feel like doing it in the Iron Ceremonial, so it's just not happening.
300 Yu Longbows?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's not going to happen, and Ceremonial Sword was definitely not going to be happening because that place stinks.
Okay.
Okay,
I don't know what that noise was, but let's move on to the second part of this, the notice board. This thing's very painful to look at, in my view.
Because it's so brown?
Well, no, it just doesn't fit in with the rest of the game. I mean, they took the, you remember, this is where the tasks used to be. And they also removed the quest journal, and they put these all together in the notice board thing, which is fine. The interface itself is nice, but the problem with it is that in order to view a task, a quest, or a daily challenge or whatever, you need to effectively blind yourself to the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's just not, in my view, a good way of doing things. Because with this, you're cutting yourself out of the game, and you need to see the rest of the game while you're accessing these. It's just a horrible user interface on their part. And we were talking in Skype last night about another thing, the fact that you can pin a task, but in order to have it pinned, you have to have this little window floating on your screen. You can't get rid of it.
Actually, I found out it does go away, but it takes a very, very long time to go away.
How long?
I can't remember. I just remember opening it up, and then I talked to you guys for a couple of minutes, and then it was gone. But it was there for a while.
But it was still pinned in the little thing on the side where like the skills thingamajig is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Actually, it just disappears if you log out, too, which I kind of found a little bit annoying.
Yeah, because, you know, you're working on a task, you pin it for a reason, and it disappeared. So, I mean, and let's also remember that since RS2 came out, the quest journal was a little thing that popped up, and you could just scroll through it, and it would sit in the center of your screen. So why not just take something like that and take some user interface tips from the ability book in the combat beta, so you have a little thing that you can mouse over at the top, and then let's say you mouse over quests, then the quest list appears down below. Then you mouse over daily challenges, all the challenges appear. You click on one, and it pops up in the center of a screen in a nice little window that's not modal, and you can move it around, and really, you can just hide it, and then right there you have the pin option. Then it'll just go back to where it was in the little thing, and everybody will be a whole lot happier.
Let's see.
I mean, I just laugh sometimes at what Jagex does with their interfaces. It's like each time an interface is designed, the next person who wants to do something with it is allowed just free rein, and there's no, I don't even know if they have UI specialists that go through each of these interfaces, but they did say they are bringing people in for the combat beta, so that's good, I think.
Yeah, so anything else you want to add to this?
Not really. I just want them to really fix that because it's a pain to use.
And nice war, I mean, as well with the pinup.
Yeah, and I like to use the quest interface when I was doing quests, you know, to swap back and see where you are. And you know, sometimes you don't want to black out your entire screen. And I also have the same complaint with the skill guides, you know. So, for instance, whoops, I just spilt on myself. when you click on something like the farming skill guide to see what produce the thing requires in order to protect itself, that thing takes up the entire screen again and blacks it out, when really it could just be a floating window. So, yeah. Please fix this, Jagex.
They never really fix anything.
If I was in the UK, I'd want to go work for them to just work on this kind of stuff for them.
Okay.
All right. But overall, I think it's a good update. Also, let's also note the fact that achievements or tasks are now achievements again when they originally started out as achievements when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting how they made a little swap right there.
Actually, I had an achievement for doing a squeal, fortunately. So I remember adding that one.
Oh, yeah, I got that too.
Also got one for doing a dungeon. Where did this one come from?
I think they probably made it a lot harder for people to get the Taskmaster thing now.
Yeah. Can't say. People who are dedicated will find a way.
Yep. Well, that's pretty much all I have to say on this, unless you have anything else to say.
No, just watch out for that agility dungeon bug. Maybe they'll fix it next week, and pinning things up doesn't really help.
All right. So, tweaks and fixes. The Gilinar games have ended and can no longer be accessed within RuneScape.
Did you go, Shane? Try it out?
I did a few of them, but I didn't unlock everything. Like, I didn't unlock the title or anything like that. So, I mean, I just didn't feel like it was a worthwhile thing for do. Maybe in 4 years when they come back, they'll do it, hopefully.
Okay.
Also of note, anybody who has bonus XP left from the Mad May necklace, you have until December 31st to use it.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Yep. Solomon's store now includes an all-new royal court range, including monarch, noble, and servant outfits, as well as a jousting lance weaponry skin. I might get that one.
The jousting one?
Yeah.
You need a horse for that.
I know, but there is no horse yet, so I guess you'll just have to pretend.
Well, make sure you don't point it at anybody you don't like.
Why?
You may accidentally decide to poke them in the end.
Oh, that's okay. And finally, okay. If you're eligible for Sizzling Summer, be sure to pick up your free squid cape and crab dance emote from Solomon's store.
Crab cake. Crab dance. Okay. So, yeah, well, get it free while it lasts.
Yep. Tweaks and fixes. Oh, unless you had something else to say there.
There's quite a bit of them this week. Seal of Passage has become a teleport option, which, when equipped, which is good.
Where does it go? Where does it go?
Seal of Passage, it goes up to Lunar Isle around that area. I can't remember exactly which one it was.
Oh, right. Yes, because after the Achievement Diary, you were able to use that.
And apparently, a yew tree disappeared from a training spot in the Tree Gnome Stronghold. Let's see.
Oh, this is a good one. I've been worried about this one for a couple of weeks. The border around the Fruit Tree Patch at Gnome Stronghold has been returned.
Okay, what was wrong with it? It was just
wasn't there.
Just funky.
Yeah. Also, the princess hairstyle no longer causes players' heads to detach.
They should have kept that for Halloween.
Yeah.
But let's see. Lady of the Lake now has a right-click claim Excalibur option after completing Merlin's crystal. So you have that little that ability to get it back without going through the dialogue and. You can now use rest with musicians around the world by left-clicking.
Yeah, that's good, I think. Nothing else that I really need to mention here.
Well, one little thing, players are no longer auto-attacked when they enter the God Wars dungeon until they take their first step. So if you don't move, you're safe. Or safer.
You know, one thing I never got going there is after you move that big rock, you know, why exactly does it remove all your run energy?
Oh, it's the snow effect. Because of the snow, how cold it is, you can't run. It's not the rock. It's just freezing cold. Savvy?
Oh. What?
Savvy?
I don't understand what that means.
Okie dokie.
Okay, well then, the rising sun. So this is in anticipation of the Ozan quest and the Alcard graphical rework. A short story has been added to the Lores and History section of the website. So if you guys want to read about this or you're at all interested in the history, head on right over there and read the rising sun. And if anybody reads this after the show is out and has an executive summary, please do send it to me. I should have got you to read this, shouldn't I?
No.
Oh. Okay. So, I didn't read it, of course, but the rising sun, so does this mean that, like, Alcard is like Japan?
No. Well, let's see. Varraga is actually more east than... And Alcard. Well, maybe they're trying to do something to bring back the Eastern world, because we still have the samurai guy in the port in the ghost area.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe the quest will finally link us to the other side of the world. I mean, it is a desert. The desert goes on for miles.
In chat, Uncle Dano says there's a house in New Orleans they call the Rising Sun. Mm-hmm.
I've never been to New Orleans, so I don't know. Is it a bar?
I'm not sure either. I don't know.
Okay. You want anything else, Shane, with the Rising Sun? It's just a small
no.
tale of Ozan.
I didn't read it, but like I said, I don't really read these lores and histories, so don't hate on me for that. But. Next up is the BTS video for this coming week. Basically, goes into how... they're reworking everything and a lot of new mechanics coming with this quest. So, for instance, there's one of you throwing a rope and swinging between buildings. And actually, one of these quests is free to play and another's members. So the whole point of this is to get people interested in the desert storyline. So this will be an introduction even before stuff like Desert Treasure and whatnot. So definitely a quest that everybody will have to do, probably, for future desert quests. Also, with this... Oh, I just lost my train of thought.
With this, do we have one quest for free-to-play, which I'm happy about. Gives free-to-play some reason to try and become members in the future. And we got one for members who... Possibly both of them must be pretty simple, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both novice quests, but they are going to have the ability to have extra rewards after them. So kind of like the that last fire-making quest.
So
what was the name of that fire-making quest?
I can never
that
remember.
Like
now I wish
91 fire-making or something.
Well, I would check it out, but then that means I have to open the notice board.
That's funny. The Fire Maker's Curse. Thank you, chat people. That's excellent. That is one thing that is good. You guys will automatically correct us if we say something wrong.
Especially Dana.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Nice to have people like that. So so the question is, with these quests, how is this all going to fit in together with Botany Bay?
Well, maybe it'd be a surprise. It's like, you know, we're starting a whole new world because Alcard is very Aladdin-like, in my opinion. So we start a whole new world, a whole new beginning.
Right.
You know, we'll start it off with, you know, bots being hunted down with the whole Salem witch trial. And we get two new quests to celebrate, and you can throw rotten tomatoes at them and everything else.
Next week, will you sing your Aladdin song for us?
A whole new world. I actually know the lyrics to it because we should sing it in college because we were really bored and had karaoke night.
I see. Well, do you want to continue afterwards, or?
Well, I think if I keep singing, one of two things will happen. One, I'll have a new fan base and it'll be put onto YouTube and all that stuff. Or two, I'll make Uncle Daniel's ears bleed more than the Chinese opera that I gave him a while back.
Is Chinese opera like Klingon opera?
It's more high pitched because you had to project, so everything in there was mostly more high pitched, and supposedly that made Uncle Dano's ears bleed.
Alrighty, so that's a nice little side note. Trekkie can sing. Moving on to end of summer fun. So until September 28th, the summer items will still be on the squeal wheel. So. I know I'm going to sound like a broken record saying this, but if anybody out there wants a shark fist, you have 1 week left to go.
That's a squeal thing, isn't it, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I really don't care for it.
I want my 200 mil. I want my 200 mil reward. But I haven't landed on that one yet. That would be nice. Wouldn't have to worry about money for a while. So. Mm. Oh, and also have note, two new outfits in the Solomon store, royal outfits. So, a new outfit for a royal king and a royal queen. So, I think Uncle Dano might be kind of interested in these, perhaps.
What, the whole fun? I know summer is fun.
No, the Solomon store here, the royal court.
Are you going to get one?
Who, me?
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not going to get one. I think I was going to choose the colonist's outfit from the loyalty store, if anything. The reason I didn't know is because it wasn't because you would have had to replace your regular items with that. So I'm not sure if they've made the colonist outfit and whatnot from the loyalty store use the customization interface yet, like the Solomon store does.
Well, in my thing though, I'm just gonna wait till they go on sale and then maybe get one or two. I actually got a bunch of guard equipment from the Squeal of Fortune. I just don't know what I have because they all go into Diego or I just sell it.
Yeah, and really, those things are cosmetic at best, and I don't really see the point in when we're going to want to wear those, because if we wanted to wear those, we would have been wearing them by now.
Yeah, you never know. Someone in the future might. You know, new players come in all the time.
Yeah.
Players come and go.
Alrighty. So that's pretty much it for RS updates, and they got a full list of items being removed. Queen Guard Set, Dragon Ceremonial, Fish Mask, the Beach Ball, Candy Floss, Seaside Rock, Water Balloon, Sunbathe Emote, and the Shark Fists.
Oops.
Alrighty. So that's it for RS updates this week. Moving on to the questions right now. The first one's an audio question from Uncle Dano. Uncle Dano, I did not preview this one this week, so I hope that it is that it's going to be safe, but I'm sure it will be coming from you.
Hello, hosts. Uncle Dano here. I have a tech question for you this time. With the new Microsoft Surface RT tablet scheduled to be released this October, I heard that it may list as low as $199. It will also come with a student version of Microsoft Office and has a keyboard. I was thinking that this might be a very nice unit for my son to use to do his high school work on. What do you know about the capabilities of the Surface tablet? Would you be able to play RuneScape or Minecraft on one? For a high school student, do you think this unit might be just the thing? Or should I invest in a basic laptop instead, basically spending a couple $100 more? Thank you very much for taking my audio question. And as always, I bid you Godspeed and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Well, Shane, you remember what I said about the servers a couple of while back?
No.
Although on the surface it may be pretty, but inside it's still Windows. Don't you forget, that's a trademark tricky quote.
Yes, that's right. Okay, the Surface. Let's just get the disclosures out of the way. I prefer the iPad, but the iPad and the Surface are not the same category of device. The iPad is similar to a tablet or a pad like you'd see on Star Trek. It doesn't have a physical keyboard, whereas the Surface is a hybrid device between a laptop and a pad. So the point being that with the Surface RT tablet is that you can use it like a pad if you want, or you can use it like a bit of a laptop with its touch-based keyboard that is, I forget what the term is, but it's entirely touch-based. So with that being aside, answering the question, anything that runs on Windows, eventually that will run on the Surface tablet. But the downside being with this, with Surface RT, is that it runs on a different architecture than the standalone Surface tablet, or the Intel-based, more expensive Surface tablet would, or a different laptop. So this essentially means that they are running different versions of Windows, so your software that you need might not be ported to Windows RT as quickly as it would work on a standard tablet or desktop. So the ARM processor in it is what is going to be holding you back. So in order for this to happen, you would need a ARM-based release of Java, because that's what Minecraft runs, which I'm not sure on what the current state of ARM Java for Windows RT is. I'm not even sure if there will be such a thing, because the whole point of the ARM tablet is to just be like a tablet. It's supposed to just focus on doing the Windows-based things and not exactly the full processing that you would on an Intel-based machine. But with that being said, I think the Windows RT tablet will probably end up being a good device for people who are already on Windows or are looking for tablet in that price range, who don't want to go Android and want a bit more capability. I'm not sure if the $199 is the price that it's going to be. I heard $299 for the RT version. So
I'll double check.
We don't exactly know yet, but I think that the RT version will be cheaper than the regular one. But you might have a bit of a problem when it comes to running Java on the thing.
Let's see, really quick. Let me just look through. The Surface Windows RT tablet will launch on October 26th at a compelling price of $199. So,
Okay.
Well,
then it's entirely based on whether or not they release a Windows RT version of Java, which would be interesting if they did. But. There has to be a version of Java that runs on ARM, because Android chips or Android phones and tablets run on an ARM-based architecture, and they use Java for their applications. So there just has to be a way to do it. But I'm not sure if there will be a Windows RT ARM version of Java. And, you know, the thing is, if you get them a laptop, I would highly recommend that you make sure it is a laptop that is not going to be filled with what we call crapware, because that just makes the experience horrible. And that's the problem with most Windows-based laptops out there, is that they come with a huge selection of stuff installed that nobody needs or wants, and it just slows down the whole system. So if it turns out that there is an ARM-based version of Java for Windows RT, I would indeed go with the Surface. If not, I would go with the laptop in that case.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Mr. Dana, while you're still here?
Okay, that's good.
All right.
We're just conferring with the chat for anybody who's listening after the fact. All right, you can read the next one.
Oh, Joy, you gave me the essay. Okay, so this one is from Zant. Dear host, what do you think of the new music that is being put into RuneScape? New songs from the Songs from the Depths, the Crucible, the Carnelian Rising, all have been great sounding music that actually sound as if it's being played by real instruments rather than MIDI. My favorite song is Wending Through the Willows, which is a live recording of a vocalist and piano. And it sounds amazing. If you've not heard it, I suggest you listen to it. Every time an update on the game comes out, I get excited to see what new music they're going to add, since it's been very good music recently. So, what do you think of how the music is going, and what's your favorite recent song added to RuneScape? Love, Zant. Alright, so, let's see. Shane is music phobic, so he doesn't really listen to music at all unless it's Star Trek or, yeah, basically Star Trek anyway.
I never said that.
Yes, you have.
I'll say what I've been saying for the last couple of years since 2009 or so, and that being that RuneScape music has been improving, and people need to realize that, and it's not what it used to be, and people just need to give it a chance. So I'll say that to start with. And as for a song I like in RuneScape, there was one. I think it was from, well, Gothic Sleeps, that was good, but that was relatively older, and I think they did remaster it a bit, so that one is a favorite, Temple Desecrated, I believe. And also last year's quest in the Alcarid area, what was that one called?
One Piercing Note?
Mm-hmm. One Piercing Note.
I like
Note.
That one. Oh,
that one had good tracks to it as well.
Yeah. So. Especially with the choir.
Yeah, and you know, I forget, there was a discussion we had about that, but we definitely enjoyed talking about that quest and the music. I think we actually took some kind of higher level meaning from that. How about you?
Quite honestly, I always play RS without the songs on because I don't care for them.
You should turn them on.
Nah. Usually I find them more annoying than they're worth. I don't even play many other songs from many other games, unless it's a single player thing, which usually it's usually important to have the song, the music on. But if I'm playing multiplayer, I mostly keep it off or turn it very, very low.
You know what they said in the video for this week? They said that they highly encourage everybody to turn the sounds on for this upcoming quest, so that they know that there's a thing that people sound.
Wee.
Oh dear. I'm sorry.
Ow.
About that. Okay, now this sounds kind of MIDI-ish. This is one of the older ones. If we go to One Piercing Note, just wait for the JX web service to respond, because they're in the UK and take a while to do that.
You know, you do know that they save all the music files in your cache.
So this is what you've been missing if you had the sounds off.
No, One Piercing Note, I had it on because they recommended getting on. Dancing barefoot, there are flowers in her hair. I remember like I saw it yesterday. I don't remember the lyrics.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had an RSBNB choir singing these songs. I'm sure we'll do a whole little brotherhood act going on.
Uncle Dano could fill the role of the guy in that song.
Okay. So any you guys want to have anything to add while you're still here listening in? Nope. Okay, move on, next one.
All right, from Maramska. Hi, Shane and Temple. Shrekky? What is your favorite eating utensil? Mine is the spork, a spoon and a fork put together. What a genius idea. I still remember from when I was a little lad, I first used the plastic KFC spork. It blew my mind. They have such a thing there?
You okay?
Oh, I didn't know Australia had sporks.
You want to answer the first part first, and then we answer the rest?
Yeah, I'm going to continue reading. Do you think Jagex should remove or update the mini-games that no one plays, like Vine Sucker, Trouble Brewing, Gnome Restaurant, since no one plays them and the rewards suck? Surely if they remove the mini-games, it would tax less on the server. Then, again, would it crash the game code or start feeling fresh somehow? I don't think you'd see much benefit from removing them from the game, because they're pretty quiet in terms of how they are now, so the server really wouldn't have to do much negotiating on that part. I think they could all do with some upgrades, because if you think about it, most of these ones here haven't been upgraded since they came out, and they have been slowly upgrading them, for example, like Temple Trekking and... what's that one called in Berthorpe based on thieving?
Thieving, Berthorpe. Rogue's End.
Yeah, there we go, that one. So
I need to go back to that one. I kind of like that one. I just haven't had time to go back.
Yeah, so I think they could do with some upgrades, but removing them wouldn't help speed the game up.
Yeah, I don't think it would actually add any taxing to the server itself, because if no one's there, it doesn't get used, and that's just free space.
Yep. All right. Lastly, a tech question: do you think Apple should put out a dumbed down version of the current iPhone? Frankly, not everyone uses the internet on the phone and needs a quad core CPU. Actually, the iPhone 5 is a dual core CPU. But it still smacks all the other Android phones out there, so take that, Samsung. And surely they could reuse the last-gen hardware that's floating around in abundance to have a cheaper phone fill the basic needs suitable for the elderly and the young teenagers. Cheers, Maremska. So, I'm not sure what they do over there, but here you can get an iPhone 4 for $0 on contract and an iPhone 4S for $70. So you still can get the old hardware for relatively cheap, just you need the contract. So they do put those out here. I'm not sure how it works over there. Okay, there you go. Maremska in chat says that you guys don't have anything like this. So that's unfortunate, because I know most people in that part of the world, you guys do actually buy your phones outright and don't use contracts. Whereas here it's the opposite. We buy the contract and not the phone. So that's why... people like getting free phones. So pretty much anywhere in North America now, you can get a $0 iPhone 4 if you want, or a $60 iPhone 4S, which is a perfectly good phone and actually a lot better than any of the Android phones out there.
Oh, shut up, Shane. Apple fanboy. I don't like the iPhone. You know it. But the thing is
that... Well, next time you need a new phone, you can get one for free. And if you're interested, I might even be interested in sending you the money to buy yourself a 4S.
I don't give two donkey about iPhone.
Alrighty. So, yeah, it'd be nice if you guys had that in Australia. So...
Because one little thing, you know, keep in mind though, for most of us here, is that if you really look at it, they're really selling the phone at a huge discount. That $300 may be expensive, but it might cost $700 to make.
That's right.
And the whole point.
Well, no, it doesn't cost $700 to make.
Was it like what, $450 or something like that?
$350, $400 or so, give or take, I think.
Yeah, so they're always taking a loss on the phone, but what their real money is in the contracts, because you know they'll make money back from, you know, the phone plan and everything else. They'll make way more from doing the contracts than they ever will from selling the phone itself.
Yeah. So, and that's, I guess that's the way they do things here versus over there. So.
And it's also the same with video games. You know, video games cost video game consoles cost a lot of money to make. I think the Wii is the only one that actually makes a profit for everyone they sell, because they make so much of it. But you know, Xbox and PS3 always took a hit when they were selling their consoles, but they made every money back from people buying the video games.
Okay. So Maremska, you can get an unlocked iPhone 5 for $800 Australian, an iPhone 4S for $679, and an iPhone 4 for $449. So I see what you mean about making them cheaper there because you guys don't have the contract thing.
Well, I would say buy it somewhere else. It'd probably be cheaper.
Well, no, you got to make sure it'll work on your device. Like, it is a world phone, but some places, like if you buy it at the Apple store here outright, they changed this. They don't sell them unlocked like they used to. The only place you can get an unlocked one in Canada is from the Apple store online.
That's when you buy it from the store and jailbreak it.
Let's not talk about that. So thank you, Maramska, for that question. Next one from Flash.
All right. Dear host, do you guys play any sports? If so, what sports do you play, and what is your favorite? I play basketball, American football, and tennis, and my favorite and first sport is basketball. How about you guys? Flash. I bet Shane used to play lacrosse.
I used to enjoy it, but I didn't play on any teams or anything. One thing I did enjoy playing and would still enjoy is badminton. I mean, there's lots of stuff that could be considered sports, I guess, so maybe...
Esports does not count.
No, I'm saying stuff like... well, I mean, do we consider poker a sport?
It's a card sport.
What about pool?
Pool? Well, you're moving around, so if you want to say it's a sport, go for it.
Ping pong?
Gambling.
What about StarCraft?
Esport.
Huh?
And esport, electronic sports.
Okay, I see.
Yes.
Well, in terms of real sports, I think I prefer badminton.
For me, I love playing volleyball when I get the chance. So whenever we've head out to the beach before, we've always had a there's always a volleyball court in the area, and we always grab a ball with us when we go over, and always have fun with family and friends over. I like to swim, so I usually go down to during the summer, I went down to the local pool every week, once a week, and just swim around for an hour or so before they close us down.
Okay.
Yes. Trying to lose something gotten over the summer.
Yeah, I think we pretty much answered that one. So.
Okay. And your favorite?
Oh, this is a double take, actually, from Parkour Man here. Number one, what is your all-time favorite Star Trek episode? Oh, this was a hard one.
Okay,
you go first.
We'll just make it easier, Shane. One from each series.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's good.
So, that'll narrow down your choices significantly.
Okay, I'll start with Voyager and say Future's End. It's a two-parter.
The ending series, right?
No, Future's End is the one in season two where they go back to 1996.
Oh, right, and the doctor gets the mobile emitter and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And the time ship and everything like that.
And Neelix and Kes got into the whole soap opera. Oh, shut up.
Yeah, that was a good one. Deep Space Nine would have to be the three-parter where they introduce the Dominion and the Jem'Hadar.
Okay.
Star Trek The Next Generation. There's so many good ones in that series. Let's just say. Okay, right now let's just say Timescape, second episode of season 7.
When they went back in time?
No, that's the one where there's the time has pockets of time that are frozen and everything. So they will... and it had to do with the life form that invaded the Romulan ship because it thought the their warp core was a nest.
Failing.
Because the Romulan warp core used quantum singularities, so that created a whole bunch of time displacements in the region.
Okay.
What original about series? Oh, I was going to say original series. I'm going to have to say the Tholian Web or Space Seed, which was Wrath of Khan, or the Khan guy.
Khan!
Yeah. And... Eh.
You did not like ENT at all?
I liked it. I just don't really have a favorite from that one. I haven't watched it enough.
My favorite one from Enterprise was the Andorian episodes where they had to fight the Romulans. Like that little series, little mini series that they had.
Okay.
That was interesting how they basically the whole Cold War really got started between the other two, even though there's some pockets in it. But favorite ENT, let's see, favorite Voyager episode. I'll just keep it simple. Scorpion. Basically, the when 7 and 9 was getting introduced and the whole Borg Alliance thing going on.
And Species 8472 introduction.
Can't remember the title
for Undine, as they're called.
Can't remember the title for Deep Space Nine, but the one I liked the most was when they got the Romulans into the war and they had the whole like, it's a fake! It's real! It's a fake! It's real!
All right. In the Pale Moonlight is the name of that one.
Yes, that's right. And Enterprise. Oh, not Enterprise. Let's see. Next Generation. Almost anyone where Brett Spiner was the central role. Because he's
a fistful of data?
Oh, that's too much data. But I'll go with that. Why not? But yeah, that's pretty much it. And for the original series, I like the one where they had the Nazi one. They had the whole Nazi episode and basically went, you know, remember at that time we were just starting to get over the whole World War II Nazi movement thing. So it was kind of a way to just like shook everyone back into the past about what happened. Cause like, you know what, like that was like two decades ago.
That wasn't even 25 years before. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know, back in that time, you know, people were very hush hush about the Holocaust because they didn't. No one wanted to say anything about it, and it took like a good decade or so before people finally started coming out and talking about their experience and how horrific it was. So.
Well, there's another plane.
Yes, yes. The episode with the Gorn. Shane should know this one.
Oh no, I don't. I'm not as up on my original series titles as I am the rest of them.
Then that would be Arena. Title of the original series with the Gorn is Arena.
Okay.
Yes. Remember.
You know, that's something about Star Trek Online. We get to see the Gorn more than we saw in any of the other series.
Meh. But you know, keep in mind, Poisonova, Google is your friend.
What?
Google is your friend. If you don't know something, Google it.
What's this relating to?
Which episode was the Gorn in?
Oh. But you
don't think I memorize every single show title, do you?
But I mean, Poison Nova, or what do you... This isn't Poison Nova's question. He's in chat, but you're not in chat, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, Poison Nova also posted the same question over the friend chat in RS.
Oh, okay.
So I get to see some of them. Okay, then.
That was a good question. Let's just ignore number two.
No, we have to answer number two. All right, you little thing. Number two, do you like Star Wars? Have you seen the Star Wars Clone Wars TV show? If so, what do you think about it? Thank you, Parkour Man 99. And since Shane doesn't like anything about Star Wars unless it involves a Star Trek reference in it, he's not going to say anything. But yes, I have watched the Star Wars: The Clone Wars cartoon show with Benny and Emily because they like it too a lot. I enjoy it.
Benny and Emily are his children.
No, they're not. I'm not that old. God, I was not a teenage parent. But I like the show. There's a lot of morals about on the show that, you know, would like any decent parent would teach your kids anyway. But you know, as an older adult, you see everything a mile away anyway. You know what's going to happen. And Shane, you know, they always throw in some Star Trek reference in Star Wars. You just never give it a chance.
No. No and no to that question.
That's not surprising. Okay, so that's it for questions. Yay!
And remember, if you want a live show for episode 381 for next week, please do send us audio questions. If we get 5 of them, we'll do this again. So remember, this thing goes on and on. So if you want to send a question in, get 4 other friends to do that, and we'll end up with a live show.
Yes, just like this week. Although we still have some bugs to figure out for the next one.
Yeah, we'll figure that out before then and get some good discussion going on. I think the thing will be to use it in Mumble. The reason we didn't think Mumble is because you had problems with that when I wasn't here. So, but now that I'm here and have the full recording set up, there should be no problem.
Okay, then. That's pretty much it. You want to talk about where to send audio questions to?
Yes, I probably should. So you can send the audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. That's the email address. Or you can leave a voicemail on Skype. Just Skype in RSBNB update. Or phone them in to the phone number, which is 571-57BNB. Translates to 571-572-2632. You can send them in there and we'll listen to them on the show, and we would like 5 of them so we can do this live show again.
Okay, so now we move on to Shane's favorite topic of every podcast, and that is the tech news section.
Yeah, so this week, not that much to actually discuss, except the Twitter CEO, Dick Costello, is addressing a popular user request and said by the end of the year, users will be able to download all of their tweets.
What's the point of
that? As it is right. Well, you know, some people like to archive their tweets. There exist archiving services such as Pinboard that'll keep track of all your tweets, but that doesn't work if you've been an active tweeter because it can go all the way back to the very beginning. But on Twitter, only the most recent 3,000 tweets are displayed. So if you're one of those people that tweets 200 times a day, that's not very good for you because after a couple of years, all your tweets from the past are gone. So, I mean, it just makes sense that you should be able to have your entire history because they're yours and you might want to archive them for some reason and share them later on down the line. So I think this is a good move, and this whole conversation that he had really went way a bit to quell developers' fears because Twitter was seen as closing up with their API, and really he said that they should have went about this differently, and it's not their intention to isolate the developer community from doing things that they want to do. So I think this was a good discussion he had, so definitely a good thing for all Twitter users out there.
Okay.
Because if you guys remember, this whole thing started earlier this summer with the API restrictions, which would basically limit people from developing a popular Twitter client, for example, or something like that. They want Twitter to just focus on people interacting with the service, not necessarily posting towards it. They want you to use their clients for that. So definitely good that we heard from him.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
Microsoft pledges a fix for a critical IE bug. It's a temporary fix, but it will fix the problem. Essentially, what happened this week is it was discovered that there was a hole in Internet Explorer on Windows that would potentially allow a malicious user to run code on your system if you went to a bad website. So on Thursday, I think it was, Microsoft did publish a fix that would patch IE temporarily for this. So if you've not run Windows Update this week and you're an Internet Explorer user, please do run Windows Update to protect yourself and everybody else online. Because, you know, if you're not running Windows Update and you're using Internet Explorer, you could have something in your system and you go to one bad website and you end up messing up your computer system and you need to reformat and reinstall it, everything, and that's just not fun. So please do run Windows Update regularly and install updates when they do come out. It doesn't make sense to just leave them, because that's not good for the health of your computer and the health of the internet in general. So, and okay, better yet, switch to Google Chrome.
Or Firefox. Or Safari.
Safari, no, not on Windows. Firefox, I mean...
Shane, you just don't like Firefox.
It's okay, but it's not... I like Firefox because it was the first alternate browser out there, but it's just too top-heavy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, best to switch.
Yeah, okay then. So, anything else on the next one?
No, we can move on to the next one, which I know you're looking forward to greatly.
Meh. So you forgot the third one.
No, you can read it. You can tell everybody in your proud voice.
Okay, iPhone 5 and iOS 6 release a success. Not surprising, how many people are lining up to try and get the phone that they've already had five versions of it before.
This is actually the sixth iPhone.
I said five versions before, you know?
Oh, okay. I see. So, if anybody, did you notice any lines around there?
The what?
Did you notice any lines in your area?
Yeah, they were. I didn't care for it, so I didn't go down. The downtown one was crazy. The one in Stonetown, which is a mall, which has the Apple Store, was supposedly people were lining up and got a little crazy. But
yeah, so.
But to be fair, that store over there is basically right next to San Francisco State University, and that's too big expecting when they live right across the street.
Yeah, and this is one of the most successful iPhone releases ever, and it's what everyone's wanted. It's the same width, which is good, because if you compare it to some of the Android phones, those are kind of hard to hold.
That's because you're a wimpy man.
No, even Apple thinks so. They even released a couple of ads on the matter.
You know, Apple is turning into the next Borg.
Your thumb. It goes from here to here. This bigger screen goes from here to here. Now, that's either A, an amazing coincidence, or B, a dazzling display of common sense. Pretty sure it's the common sense thing.
I don't think Apple is known for common sense.
Well, no, what this ad is saying is it's saying that the iPhone 5 is common sense, while the 5-inch and wide screens of Android phones are not common sense.
Yeah, Apple is the last company to say the word, use the word common sense in their line.
Well, they just did.
Yeah, and is it also common sense to sue everyone you can because you copied from them, but then they quote-unquote copy back from you?
That's just the way the system works.
Is it also common sense to charge someone an extra $100 for a graphics card that on Windows is, you know, half the price?
Yeah, for Mac Pro people, because they want those graphics cards, but they have the money to burn, so why not?
Shame.
And it's also worth noting that the iPhone 5 pre-orders are slated to ship within 3 to 4 weeks now.
And I'm sure every buyer who with iPhone 5 is up in arms about the new map feature that they have.
Oh, we'll talk about that in just a bit, actually. So we're going to save that for in the other things section. But iOS 6 in general is seen as a success as well. I know I got a little speed boost on my phone from it. But the maps feature, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, There's some things about that. I mean, it's fine for normal users, but it's it does have its moments, which we'll get to in just a little bit.
Right now, Steve Jobs is looking up from where he is and going, great, now I got to come back up and fix that problem. All right, Shane, move on to the next one.
Yep. Well, that's it for tech news, actually.
Let's move on to
the Skill of the Month update. Which the Skill of the Month is this month, thieving, and the Lion is still in first place with 6.5 million XP gained. Same as last week, Brian B. second with 2.1. And Flash has taken third with 1.7 million XP. So still a bit of a race going on for third, but I think the Lion has it in the bag here for this month. So we'll probably be saying congratulations to him next week.
Alrighty. He has a big lead, and everyone just kind of said, screw it, I'm done.
Yeah, he's got about a 4.4 million XP lead on Brian B., so this one's kind of out of the race at this point.
Okay, then. Move on to the next one, which is the achievements of the week. We got Genghis Khan, who got 99 fletching.
Genghis.
That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you said Genghis Khan.
No, I said Genghis. Like Angus.
Okay. All right.
Burger. Let's see, we got Genghis Khan, who got 99 fletching on December 21st, 2012. And Jason 72, who got 99 range on September 15th of 2012. So congratulations to you both.
Good job.
Okay.
All right.
So now we on to the pick of the week. So Shane,
which is other things? I was mentioning iOS 6 maps, and I mean, granted, some of the maps are less detailed than the Google Maps that were out there, so some people don't like that, but I mean, it's fine for normal people. But there are just some really, really weird things with this. For example, this is showing that there's a beach where there's not a beach on this one. There's also ones that...
Finish up, Shane.
No, I was saying there's also ones that show like bridges being where there shouldn't be bridges, the Hoover Dam taking, or the road, or the bridge that goes over the Hoover Dam taking a huge dip where it shouldn't.
Anyway, what this is was that after people started getting a little angry with how iOS 6 maps were not as detailed as Google Maps, people started posting them onto the internet, and there's a site here that's kind of basically dedicated to features on the iOS maps that are not good. So you have a couple ones that are just a little crazy, and you got people who, there's one picture of they try to do the 3D modeling of the road, and it basically looks like the road just went straight down at a 85 degree angle.
Yep.
And there's also one where basically New York City became something that looked like Gotham City with barbed wire everywhere because all the street lights were all bent out of shape.
North Korea has better maps in iOS 6 than Google.
Yes, that's interesting. But how did Apple infiltrate North Korea?
Well, no, they get their data from places like TomTom and whatnot.
Well, the reason we can't get Google isn't as good in North Korea is because we can't drive a freaking car in there.
Yeah. there's another one that says that Australia is North America and Antarctica is South America.
I bet that one was made by an American.
And then there's also a green blob, for example, of a bus lane next to the Apple Store in New York. So,
and let's see, what's the
other one? The Berlin Wall is now in Montreal. I mean, it's just funny that some of these things end up like this. So,
yes, but you know, it's, you remember there was another website a while back with Google, with Google Maps, and how little things that they messed up on.
Yeah,
you know, one of the most infamous one was basically the Google bus, the Google car was going through this area, and a seagull basically went smacked into the camera.
Yeah. So I mean, this is just a tumbler of a whole bunch of these things, and you could spend a great deal of time on here. I find it just as fun as it is browsing a damn you autocorrect.
Yes, and you know, apparently if you look at all these maps long enough, it's basically the end of the world with, you know, December coming very soon.
Yeah, I mean, all the roads are wrinkled and everything, and it's just bad.
Roads are coming out of the street. You get roads that turn into mountains, roads that turn into earthquake zones, and you get roads that basically completely are shattered to a million pieces.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, we should probably link that for people down below.
Yeah, they got it. They got it in there. Brian found it for them. It's a Tumblr log, and you can find the link at update.rhbnb.com.
Okay, then. Anything else?
So, what have we been up to?
Shane, you go first.
Okay. Well, this week I did a bit of Slayer. I continued working on that. What else did I do? I did something else this week. I forget what I did.
Challenge? Herb Run?
Yes,
challenge.
The challenges. I did some challenges. And I did a Slayer task as well, if my Aber Inspectors. And I got a clue scroll, but I haven't done that yet. I should have done that before the show to share what I got, because I like doing clue scrolls. But my next task is a huge amount of steel dragons. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do those or not.
I like that.
I also did...
you can co-op with me and I'll join you. We'll finish out half the time.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea. It's a good idea. Yes. We'll talk about that after.
Did you get it from the dungeon or did you get it from someone
else?
Yeah,
I got it from Curadel.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. So, but yeah, aside from that, just a bit of farming and I think I did some summoning as well.
Summoning.
How about you?
I finally got my prayer level, got it up to 89 now, so I can finally use the wrath one. So if I ever go back into Soul Wars, I can start blowing people up with little mini atom bombs. Decided to just go train summoning a little bit because I wanted to get 89 so I get my Geyser Titan going on. And I did the challenge scrolls. The ones I did was, I did one where I had to mine 7 adamantium ore, one where I had to... Huh?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just looking at a map. Go ahead.
Ah, I see. Okay, then. Well, I did the agility course, and I did the dungeoning one, which was really, really good. I'm happy with that one. I'm glad I did it before it ran out. I think I would have lost a lot of experience if I did not. And I got 2 free skins, but basically an extra $2,000. Savvy?
Alrighty. Yep. Anything else?
Let's see. RS-wise, no. Did my Citadel. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
And,
oh, and we're also looking for a new Star Trek Online fleet, aren't we?
That's not RS related, but that's a wholly different thing.
Yeah, but that's what also we've been doing.
Yeah. So. Things happened. Enough said.
Yep. Well, I think that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update. And yes, it was a short show this week, primarily because the RS update was so tiny.
Yes, but next week we should have a lot to talk about, considering we should have 4 things that will pop open next week.
Yeah, so if we don't get too many questions next week, that'll be why. See you next week, everyone.
So send in those audio questions, and then we'll do another live show the week after.